What is up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 3 of our 10-minute talk, Spring Bear Special, with Ryan Lampers. So far, we've talked about where to find them. We've talked about how to cook them, how to eat them, how delicious these things are. And now we're actually going to talk about methods of take. You know, so there's a few different ways you can pursue these things, you know, depending on, you know, the weapon that you want to use, you know, bow, rifle, muzzleloader, you know, shot placement, you know, all sorts of things, bait versus dogs versus spot and stock. We got lots of stuff going on here. So, Ryan, definitely take it away. How have you pursued bears mostly when you've been hunting them?
Yeah, so growing up in Washington State, like you did, Mark, we didn't have a whole lot of opportunities. At a certain point, they took away the opportunity for us to bait as well as run them with dogs. Idaho kind of was the state. It was the go-to state for those options if that's how you wanted to pursue them. Naturally, just wanting to hunt those bears close to home, I took more of the spot and stock approach. You know, that was your option. Hunting them at times of the year where, you know, you were able to see them out in the open, which is early spring or early fall when the berries are popping. Those two time frames work the best for spot and stock. Just kind of puts them out in the open visible. So that's really been what I've done the most of. And I've taken that, and now that I live in Montana and I've hunted Idaho a buku years over there doing the same approach, and that's just spot and stalking and hunting time frames where I'm going to have a little bit of an advantage to just locating bears. And like I mentioned, I think when you're spotting and stalking, there's that spring time frame when they're just out of their den, they're hungry, they're parking on a patch of grass, and they're just gorging themselves. And they tend to be consistent in certain areas, like at that late April, early part of May, and they'll tend to go back to certain areas. And that's a great time to hunt them. It also allows you, you know, when they get out into this meadow and they just come out of the timber, they tend to just park it on that meadow for a significant amount of time often. So it'll give you time to make your play and get in on them, whether you're bow hunting, whether you're rifle hunting. You know, these days I tend to do a lot more rifle hunting in the areas that I'm targeting these bears. I used to do quite a bit of bow hunting. You know, fall bears are great for bow hunting. They'll park it in those berry patches and they'll give you ample time to get in. And they're bears are built for bow hunting. They don't have the best sight. They do pick up movement pretty dang good, but they don't have the best sight. And so it does allow you to get in pretty dang tight and get a nice, you know, inside a 40 type yard shot on those bears. But I think my preferred method is to find a really good vantage point, a big perch where I have, you know, a visual of a ton of country. You know, I'm putting the spot and scope up, running the knockers, and just scanning as much country as possible. And then once I locate a bear, if he's the right bear, making a play. And a lot of times what happens with that is you'll see a bear miles away, and maybe there's a river to cross even. And it's like a day or day and a half just to get to that area. And so, you know, you're finding a bear, he's tucked away, he's feeding up in this little, you know, salad bowl up here in this drainage. And then you're spending as much time as it takes to get there, get a new location to try to relocate him. Hopefully he comes back out in that same general area. And then you're making your play, whether that's with the bow or a rifle. But that's definitely been my preferred method of take. I know a lot of guys love the, you know, the baiting there in Idaho. Got a lot of respect for guys that have kind of dialed that in. It's almost a science when they're out there baiting. There's folks that, you know, they don't sit right on the bait. They sit away from the bait for some of those really older age class bears that are just really, really sneaky. I mean, they know something's off. Mm-hmm. And you would think, you know, you got a big bait pile and all the bears are going to come to it. But a lot of times those older age class bears, they tend to circle a wagon, I guess, and not just come right in. And there's a gentleman out there like Russ Meyer. He's done it for years, and just hearing how he hunts them over those baits, like he literally will sit hundreds of yards away from it, trying to get that bear on his way to the bait versus hunting right at the bait. piles. So
interesting.
Definitely something I'm not as familiar with. Definitely prefer to do the spot and stock approach. And it's just a lot more fun where I can just be on my feet, be mobile, run the glass, find them, and then just cruise, just absolutely sprint to wherever that bear was last seen and try to make a play.
Yeah, I feel like baiting sometimes gets a bad rap from folks. They're like, oh yeah, I just, you know, throw out the, you know, whatever food that, you know, and then like
walk out, throw it anywhere.
Just throw it anywhere. And man, I've done a little bit of it, or really more observed hunting with Dan Staten in Idaho. And the amount of work that those guys are, the amount of work, time, I mean, you know, they're going up weekly, twice a week. We're talking long drives, hauling bait, getting it, then you got to get it back in and keeping those baits going. And then not only that, but you're not, like you said, Ryan, you're not just setting it out. Like all the stuff that we kind of talked about earlier of where to find them, you know, a lot of those terrain features and attributes, you know, you're still reading the country. You're still going, okay, where does a bear like to live? Okay, what are the prevailing winds? Where do I want to set this? Where can I put this? And then just the sheer maintenance and work that goes into it. I mean, it's
a lot of guys are putting that barrel on their back, you know, and hiking it in for miles and then dropping that and then chaining it up. And then, yeah, I got a lot of respect for guys that do it. It's definitely there's definitely a science to it. I could see getting into it. And the cool thing about running them with dogs or running them with baits is you really get to have that up close visual to where you can decide, is this a bear that I want to take? Cause let's face it, sometimes bears are hard to judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a distance, it happens all the time. There's going to be bears that folks think are huge, big old giant boars. They get up to them and they realize it's a younger, you know, bear. Whereas if you're baiting or running them with hounds, you really get that up close sight of them. And you can determine at that point, is this a bear I really want to take, or I just want to let him go and try to go for an older age class. So there's definitely pros to it. I could see the pros for both baiting and running with dogs, but I think it's all fun. I think whether it's OCD or whatever, I just like to be on my feet and I like to just be able to motor and go and cruise. That's not to say I won't try maybe running some baits someday in Idaho. But
I think some people, they're like, oh, you know, bait or dogs. Well, that's kind of like the lazy man's. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. You can't just
it's more work.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I talked to a gentleman this year who's baited for years and years and years, and he's seen what we're doing with these spot and stocks, and he's getting excited about that. He's like, you know what? It's a lot of work setting these baits. I got to go in there multiple trips. I got to drive to my area. I got to hike this stuff in. I got to sit. And it just doesn't, it is more work. Honestly, it's not just easy. Like a lot of folks would probably have that conclusion. But
yeah, of course, I don't know the way you're hitting the backcountry and going, you know, crazy miles in, that sounds like a lot of work too, though. So
I think it's all work. Yeah,
the secret is, yeah, you got to work one way or another.
Yeah.
Do you prefer taking them with a rifle or a bow, or does it not really matter to you? It just kind of depends. Or
honestly, it doesn't really matter. You know, I love chasing fall bears with my bow. Like I mentioned before, you know, you tend to find those bears in those huckleberry patches in the high country, and they'll park it in there and they give you ample time to get in and stalk them and slip an arrow into them. That was a ton of fun. These days I find myself picking up a rifle way more, multiple bear tags. I can't seem to get enough bear meat in my freezer. So I'm trying to get, you know, at least 2 to 3 bear tags filled and trying to take old mature boars on with each one. And I just love the country that we're able to go into with rifles and just give it all you have. You know, the challenge maybe isn't in the shot itself, but it's getting into areas where old bears just grow old and die and people just don't see them. Mm-hmm. There is a challenge in going in 10, 12 miles and trying to find, picking through multiple bears, trying to find that oldest bear in that basin. And then putting them down. There's a lot of challenge there. So yeah, I'm not snobby about one or the other. I like them both, but right now I find myself doing a lot more rifle hunts.
I think that's one thing that's cool about bear hunting or bear seasons in general, kind of like the fall or the spring. oftentimes it's not weapon specific, you know, so it's not like, oh, well, it's archery elk right now, so I either have to pick, you know, right, or I have to hunt with that implement. If you're super into bow hunting, you can bow hunt during the bear seasons. If you want to rifle hunt, you can rifle hunt during the bear season. And that's going to be, you know, maybe that's not everywhere, but I'd say that's, you know, commonly how these seasons are structured.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and unique bear hunts, you know, we see guys like the Untamed Gym, you know, they're running hounds, I think, in December. I mean, that just seems cool to me. It's like, oh, go hunt bears in December?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Too many fun things to do.
I wish more states had, like, thinking back to Washington State, I sure wish they had more opportunities for spring bear back there. Over the counter, you can grab two fall tags back there, but they're very selective on how many tags they give out for spring for some reason. I feel like they could open that up a little bit and allow a lot more opportunities in the springtime, but we'll see. I don't know. There's something about those spring hunts, man. It is a lot of fun getting out there when, you know, everything's just coming to life. The bears are hungry. Just a great time to be in the woods.
For sure. You mentioned earlier, again, just right before we hopped on, you mentioned calling bears. What's that? I actually hadn't heard that before.
Yeah. So, I think a good thing to have on with every bear hunter that goes into the woods is have a call around your neck. I just run a simple little, gosh, I think it's a Primos or something, little call around my neck. It's just a distress call. And how I use that for, like, say, April, when there's no calves getting dropped yet, it's really difficult that I've found to call in bears when they're just out of the den. They need to get some grass in their belly. They got to get their system going before they're able to focus on meat. Yet that last week in May, or as soon as some calves start falling, some fawns start falling, bears will quickly turn in those winter areas. Where all the deer and elk are dropping, they'll quickly turn to chasing calves and just running them down. And so I'll have a call around my neck in those areas and at that time. And the last 2 weeks of May and going into June, man, it's hard to beat calling in bears with just ripping on a distress call. And they come a running sometimes, and sometimes they don't. You know, bears, as soon as you think you got them figured out, they do something crazy different and they're very unpredictable. But I've had really good luck just ripping on a distress call, you know, trying to put myself in an area where I got a good visual around me, because sometimes they can come in fast. And, you know, here in Montana, we obviously are in grizzly country, so you have that worry as well. I can't say that I haven't called in grizzly country, because I have. I always regret it after I do, because bad things can happen and those grizz are really tuned into that. So I use that call to a lot of times just stop a bear.
Okay.
Turn him, get a better look. And then as you progress into the season more and you're getting closer to that rut, calves are dropping. Boy, that is a great time to try to pull those bears out of the timbers, and they just come ripping right in sometimes. It's really fun. But I'd recommend doing it. Just make sure your head's on a swivel.
Head on a swivel. Be careful. Maybe don't call in grizzly country, which is kind of getting harder and harder to do, it seems.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. And I know, you know, there's some guys that do it back, you know, in the thicker type country of Washington. So you get bears coming into tight quarters, ripping on those calls. But like I said, sometimes they'll come in extremely cautious. Sometimes they'll come in at a dead sprint. So yeah, it's exciting to say the least.
That is very much so. Good stuff.
Do you miss
anything?
I'm looking over my list right here, Jim, and I think we about covered it.
All things considered, being in approximately 10-ish more than that, but minute talk.
Yeah.
What about shot placement? Should we talk about shot placement?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe we almost...
It's like we set it up for you. We got time. Let's talk about it.
We could rip through that real quick.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's a question that gets brought up quite often with bears, because, you know, for folks, like I said before, a lot of new bear hunters coming on the scene. So for folks that have hunted whitetails or mule deer, elk their entire lives, you know, it's a little bit different with a bear. Not a whole lot, but it is different. So I've noticed, I've had a lot of messages the last couple of years with these new guys coming in saying that they had bears get away. You know, they shot them. They felt like it was a good shot. And I think bears get a just kind of like a badass reputation. Like they're tougher than they actually are, more so because guys are putting not the best hits on these bears. You know, those shoulders on bears, the density of the bones on bears is pretty good. I mean, it's hard to punch through a shoulder on a bear. With a bow, you're not going to do it for sure. Even with a rifle, you're putting that bullet in a place where it's not going to be the most effective, and you may not find that bear. My opinion is you want two holes running through a bear, and you want to hit that broadside shot and try to double lung him if you can. That's going to give you the most opportunity for a blood trail, number one. Hopefully not a far blood trail. Bears with all the fat that's and all the hide or the all the hair, it soaks blood up really quick. And with the inability to track them very well because of the nature of their paws, you know, they don't leave imprints like a deer and an elk would. And if you've ever tracked a wounded deer and an elk, sometimes you just are down to the feet in the ground, the scuff marks, where you don't get that with bears very often. So my opinion is try to get that broadside shot. If you can, try not to put it too far forward. If you're shooting that front quarter, you have opportunity to hit a gap, you know, hit a spot where you're not in the vitals. Bears' vitals tend to be a back, just a scotch from where, say, a whitetail's are. So if you're putting that placement on a bow right on the crease of that shoulder, you may get a little bit far ahead of even the heart on that shot. So I'm always recommending think middle of middle and then bring it forward just a scotch, 3-4 inches. But middle of middle, if you kind of consider middle of middle, if you look at the, you know, the body structure of a bear, middle of middle, and look how far those lungs go back. I mean, they're literally, when you break down a bear on the ground, those lungs will go back to almost that third to last rib. Wow. On the rib cage. That's so they're back there quite a bit. And so I'd recommend middle of middle, forward just a scotch of that, and also center line, if not center line, a little bit above center line. The last thing you want to do is shoot too far below center line. You have opportunities to miss everything. So that's kind of my recommendation as far as where to put your shot placement, bow or rifle. But if you're gonna put a bad hit on a bear, I think a lot of times people shoot a little bit too far forward on them and they take out that shoulder. And bears are tough. If you just hit them in the shoulder, they can run forever. They could not bleed. They could get into some thick stuff that you're just never going to recover them. So if you have the opportunity to hold out, get that nice broadside shot, two holes in and out, double lung. Bears are soft. In my opinion, they have soft hide. They have lungs that deflate pretty dang easily. And if you get it in that general area, that bear's not going to go very far.
That's awesome. I'm glad we took the time to cover that too, because yes. I feel like, you know, we kind of talked about like old mantras earlier with, you know, like, oh, bear meets this. And I feel kind of like that. There's an old mantra there of, yep, shoot them in the shoulders. You got to break them down, which, I mean, that's worked a lot, right? You're going to hit them in the shoulders. The vitals are in that area. You can shock the spine. You can send bone fragments, you know, into the vitals as well. So I'm not going to say like, oh, that's a terrible shot. But it sounds like there's a lot of other things here to be taking into consideration and thinking about. And along with that, I think if you've predominantly hunted, you know, like deer and elk or things of that nature, it's going to feel a little weird to hold further back like that. You know, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, I might gut shoot this thing, when in reality, it might be about the darn perfect shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think, you know, a wounded bear, like anything shot in the shoulder that doesn't touch vitals, most likely that's going to be a bear you never recover, never find, even with a rifle. You know, it's just better if you have that double lung, two holes, mass trauma, mass blood loss, and deflate those lungs really fast. I just know way too many stories. I hear them every year of guys claiming that bears are tough, but in reality, I don't think bears are very tough at all. I think they're one of the softer targets. It's just poor shot placement. Yes, bears can go and leave absolutely no blood if you hit them in the shoulder.
Noted. Well, I tell you what, that was the most worthwhile overtime we've gone into. So very, very good. But yes, appreciate it, Ryan. Thank you for joining us on this series. As usual, everybody out there listening, let us know. Give us a comment on YouTube, the comments below, or hit us up on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about Spring Bear, if you're going to try it, if you are trying it this year. Or, yeah, any of your own little tips, tricks, recipes, all that good stuff.
Yep.
Ryan, also, where do people find you? Where's the best place to find what you're doing?
Man. Yeah, just on the IG at the Healthy Hunter, STHEAL. Yeah, any messages, answer a lot of DMs and stuff on there, but that's pretty much it. We got our podcast, Hunt Harvest Health podcast, Hunt Harvest Health website, all that for recipes and things like that.
There it is. Awesome. Give it up, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.